UK Motor Talk.
Hi everyone, we're back again. I'm Mike, hello.
I'm Jim, hello.
And I think I'm still Dave. How are things? Have we had a good week or two and have we been busy?
We have.
Yes, no, no, yes, in that kind of order. No, but yes, but yes, but kind of, but no. Very busy,
yeah.
Lots going on, so yeah.
And as always, we are UK Motor Talk. Hello, we've already started UK Motor Talking, as you can tell. Although we have lost Graham. Whether he's disappeared off to
George Jenga.
For those of you that missed his piece on the BBC over the course of the last week, we just enjoyed him being called George Genge.
It's the license fee, you see. They just don't have the money they used to. No research being done anymore, particularly not in Bristol, by the sounds of it.
But Graham was on the radio talking about the Dacia Spring, which is something that we spoke about during the last podcast. And we said it's going to be coming to this country, and we think it's going to be less than 18 grand, which is a bargain. And it is less than 18 grand, isn't it?
Considerably so. Doing the maths in the top of my head, £2,005, or yes, £2,005 less, £14,995 on the road if you buy the poverty spec one. But even the top of the range one's not going to be a lot more. In fact, it'll probably be round about the 18 grand. So you do seem to get a lot for your money, and it's probably going to be the car that, I don't know, could open the floodgates and convince people who've been hiding away from buying electric cars because, oh, they're too expensive. This one's not expensive. In fact, it's anything but expensive, really, isn't it?
It's about £3,000 less, in fact.
Oh, well, there
yeah,
you go.
£3,000 less.
Well, there you go. Maths was never a strong point.
That was old-timey pricing as well, wasn't it? That's £2,000 and £5. It's like 4 shillings and 6 pence or whatever it was. And all that still confuses me. It's like, so what, 4 shillings yes. and sixpence? Yeah. How much was a shilling? 5p. So is 4 shillings 20p? Well, yes, but also no. But why do you have a shilling and then sixpence? Isn't that a shilling?
Because one of those is a bob. Yeah. What was a bob? What?
Well, don't worry about that. I've just been confused by bloody decimal, and that's all I've known all my life. So, again, maths was never a strong point. Better with words.
Easy to get confused, but it is good to see, though, that there is a new electric car of that sort of price on the market. Although, to be fair, I'm just sort of browsing used Taycans and things like that every week, because those are heading further and further and further towards the realms of being normal and vaguely affordable. And I think if everybody can smoke around in a Taycan for the price of a brand new Ford Focus, then that's got to be quite a good thing, I think.
Just watch out for your headlights. That's the only thing with those, isn't it?
Yes, I'll get the can opener out again. £15,000, though, that is insanely cheap for an electric car. And I know we've said before, all this is a good price, and people always go, look, £25,000, £30,000 isn't cheap. Okay, it's a reasonable price for what it is, probably. So ignore the word cheap, but that genuinely is, for a brand new car, £15,000. For a top spec
For a brand new car, that is very reasonable. Bearing in mind the Ford KA, the Ford car, when that went out of production, was what, about £15,000 for the, I say the top spec, there was only one or two specs, weren't there? But that was £15,000 in when did that go out? 2018, something like that?
17,
that was 14,
18,
15 yeah. grand back then. So actually, just by car standards, it's a very reasonable price.
It is. It is. And when you think now, what would if you could still find one, cheapest Fiestas, I think, ended up being about 18.7. So the most expensive Dacia Spring is cheaper by some margin than the cheapest Ford Fiesta. That's insane.
That is pretty mad. I mean, the only thing I would say, I mean, there are a few things with it. It's built to a price, obviously. It's Dacia. Yeah. And there is the matter of, we don't yet know what its Euro NCAP score is going to be, but the previous version, which we never had in this country, obviously, but the 2021 Euro NCAP was 1 star, which is not good for a car that is basically predominantly a European car, albeit, you know, in name. You would imagine that in the 4 years since, they will have added a few stars, and you'd very much hope that would be the case. But it's something to be aware of if you are going to use this as family transport, albeit it's got a range of 137 miles, so it's going to be a town and suburbs runabout, isn't it, really? But even so, all that aside, it's amazing value.
if it does 130-something miles, I mean, you know, what does 30 miles a day get you? Actually, 130 a day, well, that's way above average. So actually, if you look at what most people do on their daily journeys, 130-odd miles for a range is absolutely fine. You charge it once every few days or just charge it every night, it's probably okay. But at that price, if you ended up renting something with a bigger range or something diesel or internal combustion powered for the odd journey up to Scotland that everybody always sort of mythically adds to their annual commuting but very rarely materialises, well, you've got a few quid left over for that, haven't you? So I think that's actually quite sensible.
Yeah, it's sized, though. I mean, it's sized to be a sort of a local car. It's not that you chuck everything in it and go and do everything sort of car. It's predominantly a family runabout for the local, going to the shops, going to the school and all that sort of thing. I think that was my concern when it came to the slightly abysmal previous generation crash statistic, which very much, as I say, hopefully will be a lot better, and coupled with the miles will make it, you know, a very practical proposition for people, I should imagine. It looks great. I mean, I'm catching up a bit. I wasn't around last time when you were properly talking about this, but I know Jim was mentioning the fact that there are hints of DeLorean certain in the badge, and I can definitely see that. I'm not quite so sure about the Lamborghini alike, but maybe that will grow.
There are Lamborghini styling cues on it. Most definitely there are. But I think just nudging back to the Euro NCAP thing, might be worth having a look at the technicalities on that. I remember things like the KA, for example, having cruise control because that got you a speed limiter and that got you almost eligibility into Euro NCAP safety. Like, you could have the best performing crash car in the world, you know, but if you submitted, let's say, a modern Formula One car to Euro NCAP, it would do abysmally because it doesn't have... Well, actually, no, they do have a speed limiter, so well, scrap that, that's a bad example. But you could have the safest car in the world, but if it doesn't have a speed limiter, then it automatically, the highest it can score is 1. So it is worth having a look at the technicalities of it to see, is it actually
lane
safe
or
is it
and all that
actively
kind of stuff.
Safe? Yeah, all that stuff adds stars or precludes, you know, if you don't have it, it knocks 1 star off your maximum. So if you don't have 4 of the gizmos, then you do appallingly.
This is true. I did look. I mean, I did, to be fair, I did go a bit further, just go, it's got 1 star, it's rubbish. I did look a bit further into it, and there was some slightly worrying damage to people inside, sort of chest injuries to driver was one of them, and pedestrians didn't come off particularly well. Pedestrians, bleh, who cares? Sorry, I'm not Jeremy Clarkson. I think the new one will probably do better on all counts, taking into account those criteria, because it will be absolutely loaded to the gunnels with toys and kit, because they'll be throwing everything at the car. And again, rightly so, they want it to succeed and they want it to be seen as a safe and viable proposition. And I think it will be. And for that price, it's going to be amazing. It's an amazing thing. I mean, just the numbers, 15 grand for a car. A new car. I mean, that's only about half again on top of a not quite a car, AMI, isn't it? So, you know, and you're actually getting a real car that you can go on real motorways and real roads and be driven by someone with an actual license.
One thing in the news I really must talk about, because as much as it's a sad indicator on the state of society, I was secretly a little bit impressed by this. And this is that the police, and I forget where it is, hopefully someone will remember this, stopped a BMW X5 on stolen X5, I believe, certainly on stolen plate, which had gone onto a campsite, nicked a caravan, and then driven off down the motorways. They pulled the thing over, and what came as a massive surprise to them was that behind the steering wheel was an 11-year-old who had nicked the caravan and driven off down the motorway with it.
Like you say, that is a sad indictment on society, but that is quite impressive to have the skills, the knowledge and the wherewithal at that age to hitch a caravan up. As you know, I know some fully grown adults that are incapable of hitching a caravan up. So
me, I'm incapable of doing that.
Actually, that's impressive. I'm not even mad. It's like Baxter and the whole wheel of cheese thing on Anchorman or whatever it was, isn't it? His dog eats an entire wheel of cheese.
Basically, could he reverse it? If so, genius level. Is it go the opposite way or the right way? 11-year-olds, oh, Christ, I've done all this in Grand Theft Auto. Just leave it to me. I'll sort it. Fine. It was Yorkshire, by the way. God's own country. If you want to steal caravan, go to Thirsk. That's where it came.
There probably is. I think there was a mission on Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. You had to nick something, hitch up a trailer to it, this, that,
the
other.
It was the boat trailer, I think.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, there we go.
That's what made me think of it. I think I can remember in my much-forgotten youth and ill-spent youth going around various parts of 8-bit or 16-bit LA hitching up things and doing things.
On the Game Boy, I remember.
How did you see what you were doing? Bad enough watching it on a SCART-infested television.
It was dreadful. But anyway, 11 years old. I appreciate this is what must be presumably an automatic X5. I'm not entirely sure I would have been able to get it there in the first place without crashing, let alone pick up a caravan and then drive off with it.
He's done pretty well, to be fair. Not that we should be encouraging this, but yes, I mean, point and go, isn't it, with an automatic. And I mean, I'm not casting any aspersions, but perhaps he had experience, shall we say.
At that sort of age, a caravan's an entire house, isn't it? You've basically gone along and pinched an entire property to live in.
But when he nicked this caravan, was there anyone in it or anyone asleep? Or who did he nick the caravan from?
He wouldn't have been asleep for long, I wouldn't have thought. It was a holiday park, wasn't it? And
it was.
Looking at the picture taken by North Yorkshire Constabulary, this thing at the side of the road surrounded by lit-up Volvo SUVs, it's not an inconsiderable size. It's not the sort of, should we just go away for a weekend and we'll go and use the facilities there? This is the one that's probably got a bathroom bigger than mine in it. So even more kudos to the lad, to be fair.
Well, so fair play. It's not easy from, I had a calls to borrow a work colleague's car and go and pick up a race car over the last couple of weeks, and it's been a while since I'd towed anything around, and it was not too bad on the way up there because the trailer was obviously empty and just sort of bobs around and does its own thing. But once you've got a bit of weight on it, you do have to think about it and sort of pay attention. So fair play that you managed to get on with it, presumably without hitting anything, until the police pulled him over.
You say you have to pay attention, and this is a bit like my dishwasher principle. Anything is dishwasher safe if you don't care. But how much has he paid for the caravan? Well, nothing. So if it gets flipped over...
So does it matter?
Does it matter? Yes. If you get away with it, fantastic. You've got yourself a caravan. And at which point, what do you do with it? If you don't, then, no, you know, it's no great loss.
That was always the attitude with the trailer and the Ranger in the old days. It was, if I was making a particularly tight manoeuvre or something and inattentive car driver wedge themselves in a certain way to make life difficult, I'd always sort of wind the window down and say, well, I am coming through and it's a big bit of steel that's going to hit your car and the car will come off worse. I won't even notice the little scuff on the trailer, so I'd move if I was you. And that normally got them to get out of the way. So, yeah, good point. If it doesn't matter because you're going to come off better, then, yeah, get stuck in.
Are you just an angrier man when you're in a Ranger? I'm just following a little train here of thought.
No,
when you came back in the Ranger Thunder, you were an angry man.
The journey back from Scotland, I was very happy in the Ranger all the way back. I had a great journey all the way back and nothing happened at all untoward. It was a very placid trip.
All the time I was 2 inches off the bumper of all the cars in front of me. Have you noticed
just got out of my way or I rammed them into ditches, so I was more than happy. I was fine. Yeah.
Placid. Have you noticed, though, all these pickups, I think we may have spoken about this before, they've all got names like Barbarian and Warrior or Bastard or something like that. It's because they're all driven by people who want you out of their way. And basically, they're living out their sort of 600-year-ago Shogun Warrior dream of driving something made in Fukuyama to shift things around, bricks in the back, or you... Oh, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know what I mean. Basically, they're all driven by people who want you out of their way, and their eyes
there's
are all
a
red
type.
And bloodshot.
I can see what you're saying. Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
A lack of a neck,
or it's a company car because benefiting kind. One of them.
Yes,
there is that. Yes,
but, although not for much longer. Although actually, yes, for longer. Oh no, not for longer. Oh no, yes, for longer, or whatever the government decide this week.
Oh, what was it in the budget? Did they roll back on that because they thought there might be a few people who might actually still vote for them who were in that demographic?
Oh yeah, they did a massive U-turn on that. So it's as you were. So how much money had gone into coming up with that proposal, implementing the proposal, publicising the proposal, and then having a consultation to reverse the proposal, and then reversing the proposal, and then publicising the fact that they'd reverse the proposal, and then working out the maths for reversing the proposal. There's, you know, many, many man hours had gone into that. So, good use of public funds.
Mm. This might just stop us being the third party after the Lib Dems after the next election. Oh, right, okay, reverse it, quick.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what they do now, does it? I think there's going to be a change at the next election, isn't there?
Oh, thank
Christ.
Let's
not stray too far into politics, shall we?
No.
Reversing like an 11-year-old with a caravan.
Just thinking that as you said the word reverse,
absolutely.
Yeah, the metaphor's fantastic. But, no, we don't encourage 11-year-olds to go out stealing caravans.
No, don't do that.
20-year-old BMW X5s. You've something newer, for God's sake. It doesn't stand out quite so much.
Something with trailer sway assist or something like that. If you nick something far more modern, it'll have various safety features.
Or stick a bright orange flashing light on the roof of the car that you're towing with and you're invisible, because that just gives you the right to go anywhere. Like hazard lights. It just says, don't look over here, everything's fine. High-vis jackets, walking along the road with one of those click wheel things. You could be murdering the Queen Mother with that sort of thing going on. As long as you're walking along looking official, fair play, you're perfectly all right. And I realise the Queen Mother's been dead about 20 years.
This is a very good point, because my dad, who for some reason decided he wanted to do locksmith training, had to gain effect entry, what's the correct term? Basically, pick his way into through a front door lock for somebody legitimately and just put a fluorescent jacket on. Someone who had no idea who he was came up and went, oh, hang on a second, I think I know where there's a key for that. Just randomly wandered off and came back with a key. Like, you have no idea who this man is that's trying to get into this house. He's just wearing a fluorescent jacket. But yes, you get away with pretty much anything. Jim, earlier on, you mentioned Formula One as an analogy, and I suspect this is probably due to some pent-up frustration about you wanting to talk about Formula One. So I should be quiet, and you and Dave can have at it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had plenty of news, but I think just related to the idea of youngsters driving cars, wasn't it? It was we had a random call-up for Mr. Behrman at Behrman, but that sounds a bit too manly, bearing in mind he's about 4 stone dripping wet, this lad. But didn't he do well at the very last minute? I mean, he's raced all his life, and he's done karting from a young age, and he's currently in Formula 2, and he's, you know, a very, very handy driver. But Carlos Sainz, who managed to do 2 practice sessions with appendicitis and a temperature, which is impressive in its own right. Second of all, his hair looked fantastic after the second practice session yet again, even with appendicitis and a raging temperature. So I'm jealous of his hirsute genes. But he got thrown in. He had 1 practice session. He's never driven that car before on a street circuit which has got so many blind fast corners in it that far more experienced drivers hit the wall, came a cropper. He was something like 0.04 of a second off knocking Lewis Hamilton out of Q2 and making it into Q3. Didn't put a wheel wrong, barely locked a wheel all weekend, but was bang on the limit straight away. I mean, as debuts go, I mean, no pressure making your debut in a Ferrari, and fair play to Fred Vasseur and the Ferrari team for actually sticking to the principle of having a reserve driver and needing a driver in reserve and sticking him in. But yeah, he's most definitely arrived, so I can't wait to see him in the Haas next year, and he'll do well, that boy. I think it was great to see.
Yes. all I know is he's super sub, sorry. He's fantastic, isn't he? I mean, it's the stuff of dreams, the sort of 18-year-old who's sort of, oh, have you finished your homework? Right, okay. Could you get in the car, please? We need you to go out there. Mr. Sainz isn't very well.
Oh, is it a fast car? Yes, it's a Ferrari. Molto bene.
All right. I'll give it a go, see how we get on. But,
that was it.
I did see, I mean, to be joking aside, I did see some of the highlights of this time, because somebody alerted me to the fact that strange things were going on. And the boy done great, as they say, and to sort of finish ahead of one of the McLarens, which can't be too bad. And if he was knocking on the door of Mr. Hamilton as well, who was effusive in his praise, who probably talk about trying to keep your future colleagues on side, probably a bit of that. You know, you stick with me, son, you'll do well. Just don't ever dare overtake me if you know what's going to be.
Yeah, not when we're in the same team, at least.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's all very well. It's all good fun now, isn't it? But when I'm in charge, nobody messes with me. I'm Hamilton. I've got one more to go at this, and you don't mess it up for me. It's interesting. And I think this is, I mean, if ever there was anyone to keep an eye on for the future, it's got to be Oliver Behrman, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just, it was spectacular to see. But when you looked at his race pace and his lap times, just the constant improvement, and then he never went backwards in terms of lap times in real terms, if it was a clear lap without things going on or any shenanigans or overtaking or whatever else, just every single lap he learned something and he pushed it that bit further and kept that improvement. And yeah, just an absolutely superb job, and didn't let the pressure get to him. Some great overtakes. I mean, I think it was a fairly short highlight reel of the race as a whole, because let's be honest, the first two races haven't exactly been stellar, have they? There's been far more off track action than on track action. I mean, Max wins, Checo second. There's, you know, the odd scrap behind, but we could well be on for another season of Max winning everything and being able to stop at the halfway point or win the Constructors' Championship on his own, which is simply no fun. But it was a very good story for the weekend, and quite nice to have a nice story, I think, against the backdrop of the Christian Horner thing, which rumbles on and allegedly does and allegedly doesn't, and then the person who made the alleged allegations is allegedly suspended for allegedly not alleging things properly, and then Helmut has said, well, actually, the Austrian owners have said allegedly I might be out, and then allegedly Max has said, well, if Helmut goes, then I go, and then allegedly somebody else said, well, you can go, and it's just how that team managed to have all this off-track shenanigans but just be the most dominant thing on the track is quite impressive, to be fair. But it seems like a bit of a house of cards, the Red Bull organisation at the moment. It could quite rapidly come tumbling down, I think. But it's a few people have said, well, if you got the best car on the grid by far in Adrian Newey, then, well, actually, yeah, call Verstappen's bluff, and if he goes, he goes. But I don't think Red Bull would be winning the championship if it was Checo and somebody not as good as Checo. Okay, he's finished second in the first two races, so in theory, if Max wasn't there, then he's ahead of everyone else. But last season certainly showed that that's not always the case. So, if they brought the car more back towards Checo's liking, then I dare say you get on with it. But it's certainly been tuned for Verstappen's preferences and inputs. And I heard the other week somebody said it's like he's got all the sensitivity turned up on all the controls, so the most minute input gives the biggest reaction possible, and that's how he likes it. So I'm sure you could dial that out with time. But if Max left, would they be instantly as successful? I think possibly not. But I tell you what, it would shake it all up, though, wouldn't it? If we had, in a few years' time, let's have Alonso in a Red Bull, let's have Max in a Mercedes, Lewis in a Ferrari, and then sort, you know, shake out the rest and see where they all sit. Because if nothing else, it's a bit different, isn't it? It would make it interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, I'd be walking down the pits to the Haas place again. You know that guy Behrman? Could we have a word about his contract? Because we've got a Dutchman who might be about to do one, you see, and he, the boy shows some promise. I'm not saying he's great or anything. No, we'll give you a fair price, but, you know, can we have a word? You know, he's managing.
Chuck Alonso in the Red Bull. Chuck Alonso in the Red Bull. He certainly has got
experience.
Another championship in him. And yeah, I think that. And if he can be, let's face it, older than me, which gives me hope. If a man older than me can win the F1 World Championship, then there is hope. So go on, Fernando.
I was just looking at Oliver. I've just got the F1 website up. And to be fair, he's not playing the too cool for school thing. Oh, yeah, it was all right. I didn't do too badly. He's there with what we in the trade would refer to as, and you're going to have to get the bleep machine out, he's got what looks like a shit-eating grin on his face, as if he is literally the cat that got the cream and all the rest of the milk float and the rest of the dairy. He's the happiest boy, and I use that term advisedly, on the whole pit lane. And he really does look like he enjoyed the experience. And Christ, wouldn't you?
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's lovely. Like you said, I was reminded of this when you were talking about the unpleasantness that's all going on at Red Bull. You know, you've got the other end of things here. I mean, let's be fair, Ferrari are not ones adverse to a bit of scandal and intrigue and backstabbing and almost the equivalent of horses' heads in beds. But this is actually a nice thing, a nice, on the face of it, just standard, everyone's joyful, happy, especially Mr. Bearman there. And it's wonderful. It's just a lovely counter.
I was going to say Mr. Bearman Sr. Bearman Sr., I think he had the weekend of his life as well, didn't he? And what a proud dad moment as well. That was really nice to see.
He had that look of, please don't crash it on his own. And every time they went to him in the pits looking up at the monitor, you could just see him going, oh, please don't bend it. Please don't bend it. Oh, God, no. Yes, proud, but absolutely cacking his pants father, I believe.
No, he did rather well in it, and it was good to see. But I think Mr. Bearman Sr. got more airtime than Max did in the race, to be fair, which I think shows what it was like out front. It is getting a bit repetitive, but there we go. Hopefully the other teams can catch up and push on and understand the concept a little bit more. But it's I think we might be waiting a little while for that. In other off-track news as well, with rumblings on, Massa has apparently commenced proceedings against the FIA and Bernie Eccleston and whatever else for the 2008 crashgate. I think it was 80-something million he's seeking in damages for lost 80? Earnings and, yeah, what he would have earned extra for being an F1 champion and this, that, the other. So I don't think he's actually looking to have the championship overturned, because let's face it, that would be rather hollow and nobody would actually count it, I think. But it's more the here's what you could have won or should have won, so give me the money and that's it. So I mean, I can't think he needs the money. I don't know what his net worth is, but probably less than 80 million, I would have thought. But I don't know, really. So he had a good, long, successful, reasonably well-paid career, so I can't think he's desperately short of a bob or two. But maybe it's an indictment on the fact his kids are showing an interest in motorsport and he's realised how expensive it is these days. So he needs to top up the coffers a bit.
You wouldn't say no to 80 million either, would you? Let's be honest.
No, you probably wouldn't, would you, to be fair? Try it, you might as well. I doubt it's a no-win, no-fee situation, though. It's probably costing him a bob or two to commit to it, isn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
It does seem a little bit odd. I mean, I suppose, you know, these things are important for as long as they're important. I mean, 2008 was a long time ago, wasn't it? And like you say, there is more than a little feeling of sour grapes about the whole thing. But again, if he obviously feels he's got a point, because he's not letting go of this, is he? And 82 million actually, so I mean, that's another $2 million or £1.6 million at the current rate before one of our potential prime ministers crashes it all again and we go down to bucket loads of money just to go and buy a load of bread.
Stay away from politics. Stay away from number 10.
Oh, we're getting close, aren't we? Getting off that topic. It'll be very interesting to see where this goes. I have a feeling this is going to get thrown out very, very quickly. But stranger things have happened, haven't they?
I almost think it needs to get thrown out, because it just sets such a dangerous precedent if it goes through. I mean, like I say, putting the sporting side or the what was correct or not side, you know, if you're going to look at 2008, you certainly need to look at 2021, because that was a complete and utter, no, Lewis should have won that race and therefore won the championship, you know. I think Lewis deserved the championship then. I also thought Max deserved the championship then. In 2008, Massa deserved the championship. Lewis deserved the championship. But it came down to one point. It came down to a very minor thing. The year before, Lewis arguably deserved the championship. It came down to one extra lap on a set of wet tyres and a gravel trap that was a bit too deep. These minor things can have such a big effect, and what seems small can change the outcomes of things. But really, once they've happened, it's happened, it's done. If there was, you know, is it right that the result of Singapore was allowed to stand and what was allowed to happen happened? No. Absolutely not. And if something was known at the time, then should something have been done? But you can't. It's like you say, it's just too long ago. What is the point in dragging it up other than for money? But yeah, for 82 million quid, have a go, why not? As long as the championship stays where it is, because that really is done, you know. Otherwise, how far back do you go? I'm sure there's something in 1950 whatever where somebody had a confusion with a bit of lap timing, and actually, has he done an extra lap or hasn't he? I don't know. I'm sure there've been countless examples of that, and across all sports, you know, was the ball in, you know, the England football team. I'm sure we've been, maybe it's just patriotism, but I'm sure we've been robbed once or twice with goals that were in that weren't given, and then goals that were blatant handballs that were given, and this, that, the other. But what do? Go back and play the game again? You can't, so it's done. But yeah, 80 million, if he ends up with 80 million, then good luck to him. Why not?
If that was a no-win, no-fee, the average fee for the no-win, no-fee is 25%, that would be a reasonable cut.
I'd give it a go arguing for him. I'd represent him for 20% of that. I'd give it a damn good
25%. Don't undersell yourself.
I'll do it for 20. I'm pitching for the business here.
Can you imagine though, if any of the ambulance chasing legal fraternity got in there? Have you had an accident that wasn't your fault? Let's form an orderly queue here, Formula One. Just take a ticket. We'll get back to you shortly. How many people would there be? Well, egress into me. I have the line. Well, you'd be minted.
Quite a few. Well, actually, you're starting to sound a bit like Christian Horner there, because I think that was a cost cap. Why did you breach the cost cap? Well, catering, but also we got our sums wrong. But also, actually, it was Lewis's fault because he crashed into us and wrote a car off, and that's why we spent too much. It's like, no, that's sort of part of the game. And if you're going to, as Mark Webber said, if you're going to race cars, then you're going to crash cars, aren't you? So it's part of the fun and games.
You would need one hell of an ambulance chaser for that, wouldn't you? Something to keep up with it. Yeah, maybe a Renault F1 Espace. Maybe that's the answer. They all go in the same car.
That was a cool thing. I saw that at Goodwood a couple of years running, and I think there was the Ford one as well, which had the V8 in it.
The supervan.
Yeah, the supervans. They were quite amusing to see. They sort of had that resetting your points of reference thing. We think a Renault Espace, albeit one that's very wide and has got a roll cage in and sort of vaguely looks like an Espace, shouldn't be going that quickly in that short period of time.
And sounding that good.
And sounding awesome. Which reminds me, actually, just thinking that I did a bit of digging around on Autotrader this week, and there's a couple of 3-litre Renault Lagunas V6s that are buttons at the minute, and they're both ULEZ compliant, but I haven't teed them up, so I shouldn't even mention it. Reminded me, the Renault thing, but I bet they sound quite good if you put straight pipes on them.
And I've been trying to tempt you again. I've got them back to my old tricks, aren't I?
Yeah, because I think that's possibly what's done this, actually.
What was it before I sent you before? We were just about to board a plane.
Maserati.
It was, wasn't it? It was a Maserati Quattroporte, the one with the inverted commas Ferrari engine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, about $6,000.
Yeah.
There's something not very reassuring about, I would say, even a Ferrari engine for $6,000, let alone an entire car that goes round the engine.
That's a very cheap engine.
Generally, it's going to cost you about $6,000 every time it wants to have its belts done, I should imagine.
I can't imagine that that's a car that you want to drive on lemonade budgets, is it? That you need to have the champagne lifestyle, the champagne budget to go with that. That's not going to be buttons to run.
No,
and was it a private sale or was it a dealer, that one?
I think it was private.
Yeah, even worse, it was a private sale. Yeah, so you really would be, you'd go along there, hand over all of your monies. And
sold
then,
as seen, son. Sold as seen.
Yeah, it's a peach. Never a day's trouble.
Warranty? You don't need one of them, mate. Look, it's Maserati. It's got Ferrari engine in it, mate. The thing it did have going for it, I think, was that it had the ZF Auto gearbox, which wasn't the Ferrari-derived F1 which are known to be flaky. So, I mean, that's something going for it. It's got a German bit in it somewhere. But apart from that, I mean, yes, very, very tempting, but no, I'm not that mental.
ZF boxes, that I think probably is a podcast in itself. We want to get into the geeky detail of things, and often we do, of course. Cars that have had, amazing cars that have had ZF gearboxes, there's a lot. And they're still, obviously still using ZF gearboxes for loads of bits and pieces as well, haven't they? They've gone back from DCTs to ZF boxes. BMW, for example, I think have done that, haven't they? In the M3 and M5?
I think so, yeah. Well, my old 3 Series had the ZF box in it, didn't it? And it was a peach. Mm. It was a lovely gearbox.
Mm. Maybe one for another time. We'll park that behind great headrests of the 90s. Although, that said, a great headrest of the 90s, I bet you, is something that Richard Porter would know about.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows about that kind of stuff, it would be Richard Porter. We should reach out. Right, we want to speak to you about headrests of the 90s. Do you reckon we can fill half an hour at least?
If we wanted to get him on, I know that they don't do guests on their show, do they? But I don't know how they feel about doing other podcasts. But does anyone know Sade? So we could maybe get her. maybe we could do a trade, borrow him and give them Sade for a little bit.
Or any of the cores. Equally, we could, yeah, we'll probably be able to just tempt them along there. This is Smith and Sniff. dangle a core in front of them and they will be there.
Anyway, does anyone know any of the cores?
Sadly not.
No, amazingly not, no. I think I had a cores album when I was about 10 or something. It was a long, long time ago, and I was still in primary school. I remember, in fact, I think I got my first CD player at 10.
What's a CD?
Because you mock me for my purchasing of CD albums, and at least one of the cars has still got a CD player in it. Have they all got it? Ooh, four of the cars have got a CD player, which is a rarity these days, and one of them has a tape deck. So I'm restricted to listening to the collection of tapes which is currently in the car, which is Indra in the Blockheads, which belongs to a mate of mine, Shaggy, and it is Oh Carolina, which was in the car, I think, when I was 3. Ford, Smooth Listening, which is just dreadful, which was a tape you used to get when you bought the car. And I can't remember what the other one is.
It'll be Now 32. It's always Now 32. Everyone's got Now 32. I don't even know what's on Now 32, but it'll be about that. That would be peak cassette usage time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A Now album of the time. But can't you get one of those, like we used to have in the Yaris, that Slurder cassette thing. It was a 2001 Yaris, and that Slurder cassette deck. We had one of those cassette adapters, which you
used to plug into either. Yeah, cassette aux in or cassette to Bluetooth, if you want to be really jazzy.
Yes.
I've got a
cassette to Bluetooth. It looks like a normal tape cassette, very retro, and it has a little thing that hangs out for the slot, so you can use Bluetooth and talk to people on the phone. The problem is, because it's churning the tape round, what they can really hear is and then me sort of distantly in the background, if you can hear it over the road noise, the noise of the car and everything else. So that is hopeless, and it also flats the battery in about 2 hours. So if you've got any sort of lengthy journey, you have music for 2 hours, and then you'll have to resign yourself to manually tuning the stereo, because I guess old stereos never used to track the movement of FM stations within the frequency band. So you set it to whatever it is. I don't know what 99.7. I'm obviously cool and listen to Radio 1. Yeah, and so when it changes to 98.2 or whatever, it just completely loses the signal. It's gone.
Yeah, but do you get traffic announcements which let you know that there's some random traffic happening on a road you've never heard of that's actually nowhere near you, and actually you have no idea if it's on your journey or not?
Do you know?
No, you're going to say if you did, then the thing would be tracking stations, because that's part of RDS, isn't it?
It is. And besides which, I think probably only a complete imbecile would exclusively follow just the thing with the directions on the radio, surely, on the traffic announcement, because they don't really exist anymore, because everyone's gone to DAB. And as I've discovered in the not-so-distant past, the radio traffic announcements don't work on DAB. They only work on FM, but then pretty much everything on the road now either has a navinet which tells you what the traffic is, or a phone with navigation on it that tells you what the traffic is ahead. Or indeed, if you're somewhere
near an
internet, you can Google your route or whatever. Maybe you can use the AA route finder if it still exists, I don't know. It might be a bit off of the early noughties. And it will tell you, don't do that, because that road's closed. And at least they are the roads on the way that you think you are going. I don't know. I'll get off my high horse about all of these things. Why am I getting so angry?
Without dragging up some old wounds.
Yes. And on that angry note, it's probably time for us to say goodnight. So in the meantime, let us know what's been grinding your gears. We are at UK Motor Talk absolutely everywhere. You can keep up with the progress on The Onion if you're interested in that. That's available on YouTube. And there are many, many episodes of me making weird faces at different times of despair, elation, and then disappearing into clouds of fog at some point in the not too distant future. So for now, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. I've been Mike. Goodbye.
I've allegedly been Jim, and it's been a cathartic as always, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
And I've been Dave, and I will be spending the rest of the evening getting my blood pressure back down to a level that is safe. Take care, have a lovely couple of weeks, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye for now.
UK Motor Talk, a First Take Media production.